turn together now to Isaiah 55. And we'll read it in its entirety. It's only 13 verses long. Isaiah 55. The central focus will be what verse 7 declares and the reasons for it in 8 and 9. But I believe the whole text centers around this 7, 8, and 9. So we'll begin at verse 1 and read through verse 13, Isaiah 55. What we're about to hear is the very word of God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness for the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation you do not know, and a nation that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field, well, they're going to clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord to us this morning. Congregation, let me just ask you, what motivates you? What motivates you to hate your sin? To battle your sin and to turn from your sin. What motivates you to do that? I would suggest there are two things. One is fear, and that's good. It's good to fear the Lord, not to be scared of him, but to fear him. It's the beginning of wisdom, absolutely. So that's a good motivator. I would suggest another motivation this morning, particularly here from Isaiah 55, and that would be a love for God that responds, that is responding to his overwhelming love for me. When I get it, what this text teaches, it will motivate me to seek God, to ask him to help me hate my sin, and change and turn and move away from it and move closer to him. The more I see of his kindness and his goodness and the gospel message that there is hope for me, the better. This love of his, it invites me to come. It, It makes me feel safe to come, in spite of the fact that He is the Almighty God. This love assures me of His help in the middle of the battle. Now, here's the central truth I'd like you to get this morning, and that is God is not like us. He doesn't operate like us. He doesn't even think like us. That's the central truth taught in verses 8 and 9. Do you see it? I hope your Bible is still open. It needs to be today to keep getting this text. For my thoughts, in other words, I don't think your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you think. Neither are your ways, the way we do things, the way God does things. That's verse 8. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, just what is this thinking in this context? What are his actions in this context of Isaiah 55? And that's what's found in verse 7. So if we'll just back up to that. He's talking to the wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him. Why would he do that? Why go to him? For he will abundantly pardon. There's the scriptural truth taught to us today, that he does something, he thinks something that we don't think and that we don't do very well. Hello? Right? Right? We don't. We don't forgive like he forgives. Let me just try to show that a minute. I don't think anybody's arguing with me, but let me just show it to you. Turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. 21. Of course, this conversation is with Peter, as the text says, and it falls on the heels of what just was being taught about a brother sinning against you. A lot of lessons there for us. Matthew 18, 21, Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Okay, seven times. Now we might think to ourselves immediately or off the cuff, that doesn't sound like very much. Well, let's think about it a minute. Isn't it? Quite a bit? Let's think a minute. If someone does you wrong, I don't know, you can come up with something in your mind as to what they might have done to you, might have said something about you behind your back, might have messed with you at work, I don't know, something in the neighborhood, maybe in the family. Oh yeah, the family. Let's go to the family setting, right? Things can often get said in the family setting. And how many times should you forgive them? Well, let's just say then that someone has really done you wrong, really stuck it to you, and they come and they say to you, hey, I'm really sorry. I did that wrong, and I'm wondering if you would forgive me. Would you please? I mean, wouldn't that just move your heart? Wouldn't you just like, oh, yeah, no, listen, absolutely. Come on, let's move on. Let's let her go, huh? Let's love each other. Great. But if that same person did it again the very next day and came to you again, and said, hey, I'm sorry I'm back, but yeah, I did it again. I didn't mean to. I didn't want to. I don't know what happened, but I said it again, and I did it to you again, and I'm sorry. I really am sorry. And this is not going to happen again, right? Okay, so come on. Let's try to heal our relationship. What would you do? Okay, right? Okay. A little painful, but okay. We'll do her again. It's all right. Let's let it go. Well, come on now. Please don't do that again. No. It won't happen again. Okay. So off they go. And the very next day, they're back. Now I want to know, how are you doing? You ready to forgive this guy again? Are you? We're only up to 3, right? We're not to 7. And that's why it's breathtaking when Jesus says, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And you go, that's impossible. That's not going to happen in my heart. I'm not even probably going to get to 7 before I stop building boundaries and start building walls. I don't want you in my life at all anymore. We're done, right? Of course, yes. See, God does not function like we function. God does not think like we think. God does not do like we do. And that's the point in Isaiah 55 that leaves us rather amazed. Certainly should. And certainly should be the motivator that's now drawing us close to Him and seeking His forgiveness, knowing indeed that we'll receive it. So this is what we need to do. So let's go to verse 7, 8, and 9 a minute, since that's the central focus. And then we'll go to the two bookends, the beginning and the end, see how it all kind of comes together, because it's rather interesting how it all is together. So verse 7 says, return to the Lord. Let this wicked person, hello, that's you and me, let us return to the Lord, that He may have, and the word is compassion. Do you see that? The first word out of the gate is, this is what He has for the wicked one who's forsaking His way. He has compassion on him. Now, what is compassion? What is that? That means, maybe your translation is mercy, same kind of concept. The idea of compassion, calm, C-O-M. You know, if you're in a compact car, you're pretty close together. Calm has to do with drawing close to someone with a passion. So just this morning, very, 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 very good friend of mine texted me that his father just had a heart attack. What was my response? Ooh. That's what I said. Ooh. And right away, I'm texting him back. You know, what's up? Why? You know, I want the details. See, compassion draws you towards someone with an emotion called passion, a care, a love, a concern. And that's what's so amazing is that while I am the sinner who has grievously sinned against God, He's moving towards me in compassion. Now, I'm telling you, what I do when someone messes with me is I draw away. I draw away. You want to see me? Well, you come to me. You call me. I'm not dealing with you, right? I'm backing away. What is God doing? He's coming towards us. So that means when I'm in the very midst of my wickedness, God, in His mercy, is drawing towards me. That is already enough to just startle my brain. God is not like me. He's not like you, is He? He has compassion. So I draw away, God draws close. I grow cold, God grows warm. I grow weary, God grows stronger. And then we have this phrase. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will, here's the phrase, abundantly pardon. He will. It doesn't say he might. He's coming to check it out. No. He will abundantly pardon. Listen to that, Christian. He didn't just say to you, okay, I forgive you. No. That's not abundant pardon. He abundantly pardons you. Yeah. Abundant. What do you think of when you think of abundant? The other day we were at a parade, had my grandkids all lined up on the, you know, they're all on the curb there with their little bag. And And it, you know, the people are throwing candy, and they're getting a candy here, and they're getting a, you know, Tootsie Roll there, and okay, you know, filling her little bag, one little candy at a time. And then, all of a sudden, we saw somebody in the parade we knew. Hey, you know, hey, how you doing, how you doing? So what does this person do? They grab up a whole bucket of candy, and they come over to my grandkids, and they just pour it over them, all this candy. That's abundant. I was sitting there thinking, got my illustration for Sunday morning. Abundant. That's how God forgives you. It's not a little bit. It's a whole lot. Far exceeding your sin. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how abundant is your mercy, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is how God works. I'm stingy. God is abundant. For his thoughts are not my thoughts, and his ways are not my ways. I was reading on what John Calvin had to say about this text, and he said something really interesting. He said, when we hear, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, that might make you think that since he's so different, that would separate us, right? Because he's so different. But instead of having that separate us, he draws close to us. So since he is different in his thinking and ways, he actually uses it to draw closer to us. So Christian, what I'm trying to say here today is God is worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise, worthy of our, you know, singing Amazing Grace, because this is amazing. This is how he forgives. Now let's just move a little further in the text. Verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word be that goes out from my mouth. Now, if you know anything about the Gideon ministry, this is their text. They love this text. Isaiah 55:11. Quoting it all the time. You go to a Gideon meeting, Isaiah 55:11. It's going to be mentioned 20 times. My word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. That's why we're handing out Bibles all the time with the Gideons, right? Because they know. You keep handing out the word of God, it's like planting seed. Boy, it's going to bear fruit. I want to say to you this morning, from the context, what this word is, verse 11, so that my word, what word? What word? What is the word that has come out from the Lord in this text that will so abundantly bless and so abundantly grow and accomplish the purpose of God for which he sent it? What is that word? That word is, verse 7, that he will abundantly pardon. That's the word in this context. So if we want to, you know, I love the Gideon ministry, and I know what they're saying, and amen, but what I found is verse 11 is such a blessing to me, because the word that's going out like rain, like snow, that's going to bring water to the earth and help it to bring forth that seed and have it sprout is this word of forgiveness. This is the word that will come into the Christian's heart and so bless it that you'll just only want to walk with the Lord your God. You will only want to praise him. You will only want to be with him. That's the kind of fruit it will bear. It will put upon your face such a smile that others are going to wonder,
What is up? Why is he so happy? The reason we're happy, the reason we're rejoicing is because we have been forgiven by the Lord God Almighty. He who is perfectly righteous has found a way through Christ to abundantly pardon us. So that's the word that goes out. Okay, let's back up to now verse 1. I'm pulling you back and forth, but I'm just trying to help you see now the two bookends. What we're hearing is all these commands in the very beginning of the chapter. Listen to them. Come. I count a total of 4 times. Listen, verse 2. Eat, verse 2. Delight yourself, verse 2. Incline your ear, verse. These are commands, like the Ten Commandments. These are commands. Hear, verse 3. Behold, verse 4. Behold, verse 5. That, you know, behold. Stop in your tracks and take a long look. Verse 6, seek. Verse 10, call. What is going on here? Why are we getting 10 commandments? Boom, 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 boom. We need to do this. We need to come. We need to listen. We need to eat. We need to delight. We need to incline our ear. We need to hear, behold, behold, and seek. And call upon the Lord. But what is it we come for? What are we thirsty for? What are we willing to try and buy? For the one whose heart has been stirred by the power of the Holy Spirit, the answer is forgiveness. He's like David in Psalm 51 that we read earlier. He is so thirsty to just be right again with God. He's been right with God in the past, but now he did such an atrocity. And he wants things to be right again. He's thirsty for God. And he finds his thirst filled. The water that gives him strength, that brings back to him life, is forgiveness. I took note of this last night when I was reading the text again. Come buy wine and milk. I thought, well, that's interesting. Why wine and milk? I think wine has always, that's that picture of joy, the festivities. And milk, just the sustenance of life. Come buy what you need for joy. Come buy what you need to live on. I'll give it to you. So verse 6 is the general call of the gospel, calling all men to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This needs to be the central theme of the church, calling men to seek the Lord to attain what they most desperately need. So, here now, we'll go to the end of the chapter, verse 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Why is creation so happy that we have been forgiven? Well, Romans 8, of course, teaches us that that all of creation is waiting and waiting and waiting for the full redemption of mankind. Yeah, with joy. You will break forth with joy. That's the mark of the forgiven Christian. Joy. You know, if we're struggling with joy, it might be that you're struggling with forgiveness. If you don't have this kind of happiness, and I'm talking to myself here, if you don't have this kind of happiness, there's something wrong. There should be such joy within our hearts, such peace within our hearts. Listen to Psalm 32, 1 through 11. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Wow, there it is. Boom. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom God does not count iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no deceit. Now David goes on, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. See the opposite? I didn't seek forgiveness. I didn't seek the Lord. Through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. You know, God moved towards him in his compassion, put his hand on him, just squeezed him until he finally sought the Lord. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love of the Lord surrounds the one who trusts in him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So there should be this mark of joy upon the forgiven Christian. And then there's this word of peace, led by peace. Philippians 4:7 talks to us about a peace that transcends all understanding. Because it's hard to understand how the Lord can so abundantly pardon us, yet does through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're led by joy, led by peace, surrounded by singing. When King David confessed his unconscionable sins of murder and adultery, he experienced God's healing grace. He soon declared, I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. If we could ask David what forgiveness sounds like, he might reply, like music to my soul. He didn't simply state his gratitude, he sang it. Forgiveness eases the ache and remorse and soothes the wounds of bitterness. Whether we hear, I forgive you from those we've offended, or say, I forgive you to those who've wounded us, forgiveness frees us from the bondage of resentment. What's the melody in your heart today? Is it the song of a soul set free by the forgiveness of God found in Jesus Christ? Or is it a bitter dirge composed by harsh words from an abusive parent, festering wounds from an unfaithful spouse, or from a solo of shame as you remember your past mistakes? God has made provision for you in his Son, so you no longer need to bear the burden of any bitterness. Another blessing that comes to us from the text is that there's less little problems besetting us. Listen to this. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We will have full security and purpose in the forgiveness we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's conclude with this statement and then one more text from Isaiah. Let the truth that your sin, let the truth that in your sin God moves toward you in order to abundantly pardon you, let that be the main motivator to stop sinning and more deeply love the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time that temptation is right there in front of you, think of his compassion moving toward you at that moment. Think of his kindness. Think of his provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, to show you his love. Think of what God is doing at that moment when that temptation is in front of you. Replace that temptation with Isaiah 55. He will abundantly pardon you. He doesn't think like you think. He doesn't do like you do. Now this in closing, Isaiah 57. Would you turn there with me? Let's close here Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. That's amazing, isn't it? He who is high and lifted up and inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Where does he dwell? He dwells in the high and holy place. But where else does he also dwell? With you and me. Now why? To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would grow faint before me in the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face. I was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. Does that sound like you and me? I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. This is the part of your God for the Christian who's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring to us healing. He's high and lifted up, yet he's abiding with us even now. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy towards us, for your compassion that draws near to us when we're in the midst of rebellion and hardness of heart. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you forgive us over and over and over again. Father, we're sorry that we have to come and so often confess to you sins that we've confessed in the past. And no doubt tomorrow we'll be here again. We are weak and we are broken. But you are strong and you are healing. And we thank you for that. Father, would you encourage us to worship you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Would you encourage us today by this truth that you are the God who forgives? And may that be a great motivator to us to leave behind our sin and to cling closer to you. So, Father, as we journey on the road and you so tenderly hold our hand, if we would leave your hand for a moment to go and sin, take hold of us and keep us close to you, we pray. Don't let us wander. Don't let us turn away. Keep us, we pray. We thank you now today, Lord, for your goodness to us. We've come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.